All right, folks, it's that time of the week again for Kayak Fishing Radio Mid-Atlantic. I am your host, Mark, the Landing Crew Wheeler, and welcome. All right, we got a great show tonight. We've got a great cast in the chat rooms already, and we've got a couple people on the line. I'm going to start right off the bat by introducing everybody. Again, my name is Mark Landing Crew Wheeler. And then we have on the line from Atlanta, Georgia, Chip Treehugger Gibson, the host of the Thursday Night Original Kayak Fishing Radio Show. What's going on, Chip?
Hey, man. How's it going?
Going good.
It's Wednesday. It's hump day, man. We're headed towards the weekend.
Oh, yeah. A couple more days.
Right, man, four.
There you go. And then we have a caller, says unknown. Sorry, folks. Caller, you're on the air.
Hey, it's just Rob. We're both on Skype, probably.
Yeah, one's Greg and one's... Rob.
So we'll go with Greg because I like Greg better. Folks, we have on the line Greg Hammerhead Crisp from Ringe, New Hampshire. What's going on, Greg?
Not much. Waiting for the week to be over and hopefully this wind die down some so we can go fishing up here.
Oh, yeah, man. I feel you. And then we have the ever illustrious Mr. Rob, a bad backcast DeVore, host of the Tuesday night show.
That's right. That's me.
8 p.m. Eastern.
That's right.
If you hear that, sound, that's the sound of Rob coming down the street or about ready to launch in his kayak.
Oh, no. Either that or stage dive off of my balcony, one of the two.
Yeah, that's
doing,
a pretty high stage dive right there, man. I'm doing good, man.
Oh, man, that's good.
All right, folks, we got a great talked about the people that's in the chat room. If you're not live and you're listening to the podcast, remember, folks, you can always call in. That phone number is 714-816-4727. Anytime during any of the major shows, definitely call in. We have the Bad Bad Cast, Mr. Crisp in the chat rooms also. We have Salt Warrior, and I knew he put his name up here of who exactly he
was.
Russ.
That's right. Yeah, Russ. He's in Oklahoma.
Russ. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Soon to be in Louisiana chasing monster redfish.
Wow. That's awesome. That's awesome. And then we have, I know we've got an intro for this man.
Uh-oh.
Where's that?
Getting ready to launch one.
Can't touch that.
Oh, yeah. There it is.
Can't touch this.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Kayak Kevin is in the chat room. If Kevin would like to call in, we greatly appreciate it. Great to see you on here, Kevin, finally. So, all right, folks. Chip, you been out this weekend, man? Done any fishing?
What's that?
Going fishing. Last weekend.
Oh, going for fish. Oh, yeah. I went to the aquarium. I went to the aquarium and looked at some fish. Now, we just started having nice weather here in Georgia, so hopefully it'll hang in there. And I tried to head to Panama City for Labor Day weekend, and we got about Columbus, and it was just raining like crazy, man. So we turned around because, the tropical storm had moved up, and so we had to cancel that weekend. But getting ready for the boondoggle, and looking forward to meeting folks there. Got a bunch of stickers on the way. Looking at making some patches up for folks who want to put them on a PFD or on a hat. Going to do some videotaping while we're there. I'm stoked about it, man.
I hate you. I hate you guys. I hate you guys. So, cool, man.
You, remember when you were in the Corps and you would leave and you have to have the little lady stay at home and take care of the house and the kids and all that? That's your turn now.
My turn. I don't like my turn. I'm a selfish guy. I don't want anyone else to have a turn. It's always my turn. I'm kidding. All right. Now, Rob, did you get out fishing this weekend,
yes,
man?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I'm getting out, man. I'm going to down near the Gandy area early. I thought I was going to have some bad tides, and then my buddy reminded me, hey, it's always later in the bay, because high tide was something like 3 o'clock in the morning or something. So, you know, he reminds me that, hey, it's later in the bay, so it's like 5:30 in the bay, so we're going to go down to Gandy area and fish the old dilapidated boats. It's amazing. I don't know if you have that up there in you guys' area. I've never seen anything like it before, but people just take their boats out and just, like, dump them, and they sink, and they just kind of lay around dilapidated, sunken, and they just become structure. And, you know, I call it Pearl Harbor because it just looks like it's all, you know, a bunch of dilapidated boats.
Right.
And so I just, you know, we're probably going to fish that area, probably be on the water, like, 5:45, and there's a lot of like little mangrove islands and little mangrove with little a network of like mangrove creeks running through them.
Right.
So we should get there probably right when the tide starts going out. So
cool.
That should indicate that, you know, this creek mouths, there's like a little depression in there, and we'll probably hold up on the creek mouths for a while and see if we can find some fish, because there's been about a 6-degree temperature drop and there's no chance of rain. It's been crystal clear skies the last probably 3-4 days and no chance of rain for the weekend either. Well, very low.
Right.
30% is low for Florida and, you know, this time of year. So hopefully the salinity won't be buggered up and the redfish will be there to play. And some snook as well. So things are getting active, man. Everything I'm reading and seeing around the area, things are starting to pick up, man. So a couple more degrees drop in temperature, and we got to be rocking.
Yeah, speaking about temperature drops, folks in the Mid-Atlantic are already bracing themselves. Tomorrow, it's supposed to be just at about 90 degrees. Friday, mid-60s as our high. So you want to talk about a jump like that?
Oh,
yeah.
I wish it was like that down here. That's like winter down here.
Yeah, I was down there in, what, February, and it was mid-80s. I was like, golly. But anyway, great to have you on, Rob.
Sure thing,
Greg,
man.
Do any fishing this past weekend?
Oh, yes, I did. Took my son out to get his first striper.
And how'd you do?
I didn't do too well, but my son got his first striper, a nice 30-inch from the kayak in the dark, and won the tournament we were in the youth division. So, you know, it was a successful weekend. We set out what we were trying to do.
I have to get faster at my sound bite, sorry. So cool. So he went out, got his first striper, went to his first tournament, won his first tournament. Better watch out, Dad.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's gunning.
Cool. All right. I think we've ran through the, as Chip calls it, Buzzard Row. I just like to call it the round table. And, folks, you can always call in 714-816-4727. And tonight's show, folks, we're going to have a special guest, and actually I have to call them right now. So you're going to hear some dialing, some bad music, maybe. I don't know. So let's see here. Now, this person we're calling, it's a secret until I get a hold of him. Let's hopefully he answers. Oh, I already gave it away. It's our guy. Jeez. All right. I think we got that sound bite. Hang on. Thank you. All right, let's try that one more time.
Wayne Bradby speaking.
Mr. Bradby, what is going on? You're live on Kayak Fishing Radio Mid-Atlantic. How are you doing, sir?
Excellent. How are you doing tonight?
Doing good. And folks, if you do not know, Mr. Wayne Bradby is a Malibu Pro Staff guy.
That would be correct.
He's the president of Tidewater Kayak Anglers Association.
Treasurer only. Only because I can't get rid of the job.
Okay.
Since its inception.
Then, this is your moment to shine there, Wayne. Go ahead and plug yourself, man. Tell us.
Okay, I won't plug myself. I'll plug the tournament that I'm actually the tournament director of. The Tidewater Kayak Anglers Association is based out of the Virginia Beach, Norfolk area. We started out probably about 10 years ago as a Yahoo Newsnet group, and it was just a couple of people that got together, decided they liked kayak fishing a lot. This area was pretty ripe for it, so we got together, and then, I don't know, 7-8 years ago, we decided we'd have a little fishing tournament in the fall to, promote what we do. And I think the first tournament we had it on the dock of a local tackle shop, probably about 30 people or so. And it is now morphed into, I believe, and I don't want to brag or anything, but I believe it is the third largest kayak fishing tournament in the nation. We will have probably over 200 people this year. I believe Jack's and Jamaica Bay are a little bit bigger, but we're not doing too shabby with our 200 and some folks. It is a charity tournament. A couple years ago, about 3 or 4 years ago, we've been supporting some local causes here and there, and we picked up a new sponsor about 4 years ago, or a new charity to support about 4 years ago called Project Healing Waters. And at the time, they were a group that was focused on using fly fishing and fly tying as a means of rehabilitation for veterans wounded in war. And we thought that was a great cause because we're, again, based in the Norfolk, Virginia area. If folks that are listening aren't aware where we are, all we have to do is say SEAL Team 6. We are rife with military all around us. When we go fishing every day, today I was watching F-18s do practice runs. We see the Navy SEAL boats go out all the time. We're fishing inside of aircraft carriers, et cetera. So we've got a lot of military here, and we thought that was a great cause, given this military base, to give back. Well, Project Healing Waters has since gone on to do, really great things, and, they've become national and got some national sponsors and things. And about 3 years ago, a new group was formed called Heroes on the Water, and they're a group that really focuses on what we do, and that is kayak fishing, and they've determined that taking out, again, veterans who are either going through rehab or have been through rehab and are going through that process, be it mental or physical, kayak fishing is shown to be not just a fun thing to go out and do, but very therapeutic. There are tons of stories. If you go on the Heroes on the Water website and check out some of the, firsthand accounts of veterans who, didn't talk, were very shut in, very reclusive, and getting them out of the water, getting them independent, getting them doing things that, they may not have thought they could do anymore, has proven just invaluable and is certainly being recognized as, you know, a really good form of therapy for those veterans. So about 3 years ago, we decided to start supporting that group. And, you know, the tournament each year, you know, raises enough money typically to fund a new chapter. We have a chapter here in the Tidewater area. Last year, we funded a new chapter in the Central Virginia area. And we're always just trying to help out wherever we can, generally trying keeping it, you know, within our geographic area. But, you know, North Carolina is close by, and, you know, we just try and help the vets out as much as we can. So that's the purpose of the charity tournament.
Oh, yeah. And folks, if you don't know this, there's actually physical therapists out there that are using Hobie and Native pedal-driven kayaks as therapy for knee replacement surgery patients. So what we do is fun. Is actually therapeutic, and it gives you an excuse to go out fishing. If the wife goes, there's nothing special about kayak fishing, it's my therapy, babe. Here's the proof. Boom. So
there you go. So, yeah, we're really excited. The tournament is next Friday and Saturday. Friday is the captain's meeting. Saturday is the actual tournament. You know, this year we're really excited to have 25 veterans, men and women, who are going through the program in various areas actually fishing in the tournament with us.
Cool.
We've got 10 from our local chapter here, 5 from a chapter in Central Virginia, 5 from a relatively new chapter down in Fort Bragg, North Carolina, where there's a tremendous need for this. I mean, you have no idea the need for this process. I mean, if you've had, you know, the first year we did it, typically the TKA tournament is not known for the best of weather. Last year we lucked out, had some decent weather, but a couple years ago when we first had the first veterans come fish with us, I'd say the wind was, you know, 20 miles an hour steady all day long. It was raining. It was pretty miserable. And people came dragging into to the award ceremony, you know, bitching and complaining that the weather was bad and it was raining. They didn't catch a lot of fish and just, you know, just woe is me kind of thing. And the 10 or so folks that came in from the Project Healing Water chapter came in. They were beaming. They were happy. They were smiling. And it really all brought to you to know how much they enjoyed it. And it made you kind of rethink, you know, what's important. And, you know, our circumstances are certainly much better in certain circumstances than theirs as far as what they're going through, yet they were able to really see and feel the benefits of being out in the water. And regardless of the weather and the conditions and the fishing, they just have to be out. So we really learned a big lesson from that. And, you know, this year we'll have, you know, 5 from Fort Bragg and then another 5 from the Project Healing Waters folks. So we'll have a total of 25 veterans. Fishing in the tournament. We're going to establish a little fun tournament for them. One of our members who's affiliated with the military did a collection at his office, and they got enough money in their collection to actually buy a kayak, and we're going to put that up as a prize to the group from the veterans that catches the most fish in length will get the kayak for their group. So they don't have to catch big fish. They can catch a 5-inch croaker if they want, but they'll actually be able to compete. Because I know they like to compete against each other, because when we take them out on a regular basis, they love to jack-jaw each other and bust each other's chops and all that. So I think it'll be a lot of fun. We've also had a lot of our sponsors step up and offer special prizes or special items for the veterans. And that's really a good heartening thing to do. I'd rather give everything to them, actually, but we do have to have some prizes and things. And speaking of which, we've got some just, you know, tremendous prizes from lots of great sponsors. Hobie Kayaks is donating a pro angler for the first place slam division. A number of other kayak manufacturers, including Wilderness, Malibu, and then some local shops, are donating either kayaks, Appomattox River Company, and Wild River Outfitters donating a $500 gift certificate. And we probably have between, as we did last year, between $40,000 and $50,000 worth of prizes and raffle items. So even if, I tell people, if you don't fish, come for the raffles because you can win some great stuff.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't the guy 2 years ago, bought like $100 worth of raffle tickets. The guy needed to do multiple trips in and out of after the weigh-ins and the ceremonies and everything, for all the stuff the guy won.
Exactly. I mean, we've got Release Reels is giving us a $250 reel to raffle off. I mean, that's a heck of a prize for a $5 raffle ticket.
Definitely.
We've got numerous other folks that are donating, you know, some really nice rod and reel combinations and depth finders and all sorts. Just it's I've got a probably 20-page list. of the things that we're, you know, giving away as raffle items and or prizes. Yak Attack, many of you may know them. They're a Virginia-based company. They are doing either second or third place in every division, and what they're giving is their entire line of product as a prize.
Oh my God.
So you're getting a VistaCarbon Pro, you're getting a stakeout pole, you're getting how they make so many new things. It's hard to keep you have the Mighty Mount system, their camera mount, their camera pole system. Just a lot of great stuff. Probably $200 worth of stuff. And they're doing it for every division. So we've got, you know, a Slam division, which is your largest trout, red, and flounder. We have Species, which are flout, the same fish plus a striper. We've got a youth division. We've got a female angler division. So we've got a lot of divisions. You know, we want people to come out. I think we're very close to about 200 registered anglers for this year's tournament as of today. Midnight tonight is the last cutoff for the early registration. It's $60 right now, which will get you a tournament T-shirt, a awards banquet ticket, and a raffle ticket, which is about $40, $45 right there. So for $15, you're supporting a great cause. After tomorrow, or after midnight tonight, it'll go up to $75, which is still, like I said, pretty comparable, good deal in terms of what you get for your registration.
Definitely. And I was at the TKAA meeting tonight. If you're in the area, folks, check them out. It's a great little time to sit down and talk to people and listen to speakers and stuff like that. And, Wayne, I actually forgot to give you my money.
Well, I'll take your word for it. if you need more information, the website is www.tkaa.org. That's tkaa.org. You can click on the large banner on our front page. It'll take you to our tournament page. Or if you want to go directly there, it's tkaa.org/tournament. On that page, you'll see the logos and links of probably close to 60 to 75 sponsors that we have already, and more are coming in every day. It seems like a lot of people wait to the last minute and all of a sudden send me stuff. But that's also, you'll see the very top links for the prize page, which will list all the prizes and all the raffles we have as of a couple days ago, and also a link if you want to register either, you know, tonight or if you want to. We've got another week to go. I'm certainly welcome to do it then. But we also, I think I neglected to mention, we also have a largemouth bass division. So if you're not a saltwater fisherman, no problem. It's a catch, photo, and release tournament. You can fish anywhere you want within 50 miles of our tournament headquarters, which is Norfolk, Virginia. So it's a really wide area. There's lots of saltwater and lots of freshwater areas to fish. And you can look at our prize page and see, you know, what we're offering in terms of first through fourth place in every division.
Cool. Yeah, that's this is a great time to come out, folks. Have a blast. Greg, you were mentioning about this tournament. You coming down for it?
Sorry, I had to take you off mute there. I really wanted to. It's just too much money got spent earlier in the month dealing with these hurricanes and stuff.
Oh, no.
And just totally out of funds to get all the way down there, but I'll be saving up for next year and hopefully get in there for it.
Okay.
Well, I certainly can understand that. A lot of people had a lot of damage. I happened to be out of town when the hurricanes hit here, and I think one of the smartest moves I've ever made was I called my neighbor who fishes with me a lot, and I said, hey, how about moving my truck out onto the street? And fortunately, I did, because a tree fell exactly, and I mean exactly where I keep my truck, and would have basically split it in half. As it was, the branches of the tree actually touched my truck on the street, but I would have no fishing truck if I hadn't had it moved. So I can understand having expenses that you weren't expecting when something like that rolls through.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Luckily, it didn't affect me personally too bad, but it still was, you know, $300 extra to prep to make sure we didn't have problems. So, yeah.
Yep. Can understand tough that.
Break,
and, you know, like
anyway.
Yeah. It, you know, it's a tough economy, and I'm glad to see, you know, that many people, you know, from our area at least supporting it. And some people are coming. We have people from Maine to Florida coming up for the tournament, which is a really good turnout. We're not nearly as big as some of the other East Coast tournaments, like I mentioned, Jacks and Jamaica Bay. But, you know, to see 200 people with plastic boats on their car in one parking lot is a pretty cool sight.
Oh, yeah. It's one of the cooler things I've seen. So we talked last night there, Wayne, and you said you had some funny and interesting tournament stories. Why don't you elaborate on them? And I've got to ask about what's with the mud turtle.
Oh, good Lord. I get to broadcast that throughout the world now, huh? Well, let's take the tournament stories first. One of my favorite ones was from a couple years ago. And I always tell people, you know, I've been kayak fishing for over 10 years. And even when I do tournaments, I do it for fun. I'm not in it for, you know, to cut throat or anything like that. If I happen to catch a fish, I happen to win, great. If I don't, you know, it's no big deal. It's all about the camaraderie and meeting people, trading some stories, you know, meeting some friends, et cetera. So I never really take it too seriously. I'm not one of those diehards. And if you are, that's fine. I'm not trying to criticize anybody. I'm just saying that, you know, for me, it's all about relax. You know, fishing is supposed to be relaxing, not, you know, not stress-inducing and not nerve-wracking. So, you know, even when I fish a tournament, you know, I'll get there, you know, in a reasonable time. I may not get up at the crack of dawn, but sometimes I will. And it's all about going out and having fun. You know, I paddle a Malibu, and everybody knows it's not the fastest boat on the market. As I tell them, it's the most stable, but not the fastest. So I'm not getting anywhere fast anyway. But a couple of years ago, I was talking to a guy, and he was trolling in at the very end of the tail end of our tournament. We're here, in the Chesapeake Bay area in Virginia, and he was trolling back from the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel, which is a wonderful structure for fishing. A variety of fish, you know, hang out there. It attracts a lot of bait fish, and you can catch everything from togs to stripers to flounder to sheep's head, you know, just about anything. Anyway, he hadn't really caught much all day long, and was trolling as he came back in along the pilings and hooked into a striper that ended up placing first in the tournament, which, you know, goes to my theory that a lot of this tournament stuff is plain luck. You got to be in the right place at the right time, and I can elaborate that a little bit more later. But so he comes in and he wins the kayak for the first place in the striper division, which was great, and I was really happy for him and everything else. Well, our tournament is in September, and about July, on one of the forums online, I can't remember exactly which one, we see this, and it may have been our forum, I don't remember, but we see this post that says, you know, for sale, kayak that I'll win at this year's TKAA tournament. And I look, and it's the guy who won it last year. I'm like, well, that's pretty nervy to be bragging about winning another kayak, and you're going to sell it and all this other stuff. So, like, but you know what? To each their own. Well, it turns out this gentleman had entered the tournament, and the night before the tournament, he got food poisoning and couldn't fish the next day. So I thought that was just kind of karma. Teach him a little bit of a lesson of humility. So, yeah, it was one of those interesting little stories. That. And last year, you know, again, speaking about how luck, you know, can play a role, a guy was out flounder fishing, I believe he's on the Eastern Shore, and so he had a flounder, you know, flounder rod, flounder rig, et cetera, hooked into a 45-inch redfish and won the redfish division. It was his first redfish ever. I don't think I've even ever caught a 45-inch redfish in my life. And yet here this guy is, you know, a newbie basically, and, you know, hooks into and lands a 40. It was so big it would not even fit on our rulers that we gave out for the tournament. So we just took his word on it after, you know, maxed out our ruler, like, okay, nothing's even coming close to that. So we let that one go. And then I think 2 years ago, a female angler who had never been bass fishing before won the bass division.
Yeah, I'm still sour about that.
Yeah. As somebody pointed out this evening, you know, there were guys in there in their, you know, in their best bass, professional bass, you know, shirts and everything on that were just looking and going, huh? And I think she caught on a minnow and a bobber. So you just never know.
The last 5 minutes they were out there in the water, the moment she put her paddle in the water and started to push away is when she hooked up. And, oh, man, I thought Forrest was going to be sick. Mr. 7-Eleven, to give you an idea what happened to Forrest, the year before that, Forrest had the slam division in hand, or one of the divisions, won out perfectly. He's heading back in, stops off at 7-Eleven for a slushy.
Slurpee. Yep.
And is like, what, 5 minutes late?
Five minutes late to the weigh-in, yep.
And he got himself DQ'd.
DQ'd. Yeah, you've got to be in line at the right time. And I, you know, I learned that lesson a couple of years ago when I went down to fish the Jacksonville tournament. And it was one of my first major tournaments I've ever been in. And, again, I'm Mr. Casual. This actually does dovetail into the Mud Turtle story, which I'll tell in a little while. But I ended up hooking into a nice red. Really, I forget exactly how big it was, honestly. 30-something. And but we were fishing.
You were on the air.
What's that?
Oh, sorry.
That's okay. So we were 30 or 45 minutes away from the weigh-in. We were fishing up in Amelia Island, and the weigh-in was in Jacksonville. And our hotel happened to be between the two places. So we left early enough, so I said, hey, you know, I'm kind of smelly and stinky. Let me go get a shower before we go to the weigh-in. Well, that proved to be my undoing, as a gentleman checked in the same exact measurement of the same fish I had 10 minutes before I got there. And if I hadn't stopped for 40 minutes to take a shower, I would have won third place in that tournament instead of fourth. So I learned my lesson then. Get in and don't delay, you know, when you're tournament fishing.
Oh, yeah. Because that, oh, man, that could be bad.
Yeah, well, you know, again, I don't take it all that seriously. I wasn't upset or anything. It's just like, oh, well, you know, I'll know next time. So I now, if I'm fishing a tournament, I know I've got decent fish. You know, get in early because you never know how the traffic's going to be or, you know, what could possibly happen as you get in. I mean, a couple of years ago in Wilmington, when we were fishing a tournament there, we got back in and you had to go through like 100 yards, probably more like 100 feet of just pure mud. The tide had gone way out. And it was a mud flat. It took you 10 minutes just to get through that. So you just never know what kind of contingency you'll find when you come back in, especially if you've got fish in a place. Make sure you get in, you know, as quickly as you can. That's all.
Yeah, oh yeah. We had yakangler.com, the website that I'm pro staff on. We did a boondoggle and a kayak fishing radio boondoggle down in Jacksonville. And someone should have let me know or let us know that there are some wicked tides. Because,
oh, yeah.
Oh, man. The last 100 miles seemed was dragging my kayak in mud and, you know, and I was with Rob and Mr. Crisp here, and they both have your love for the barge and the Malibus.
No. There you go.
And,
there we go.
That's right, man.
That was rough.
That well, that's really that's rough. Actually same area and same reason for the Mud Turtle story. This was, I believe it was the next year, possibly. I can't remember which year it was. We fished the Jacksonville tournament again, and again we were fishing in Amelia Island. And I was not aware, as you weren't when you first did it, that they have a 6 to 7 foot tidal range there. And literally, if you'll sit in some flats or something, if the tide's going out, you'll just see oyster beds just appear out of nowhere. And I'm talking about a 20-foot bed. I'm talking about 200 yards of oyster bed. I mean, it's like mountains of oysters just appear out of nowhere.
Wow.
And, you know, if it's coming in, you'll sit there and you can literally look and just watch it just appear out of nowhere or disappear. It's like a toilet flushing. It's that fast. And then when it's done, it turns right around and comes right back in. It's not like an hour of lag time or slack tide. I'm sure it's 10 or 15 minutes, but it seemed like it just came in and then came right back out. It was just amazing. So luckily we were free fishing, and we were back in the flats. And, you know, you're in skinny water, and that's what kayaks are made for, and I'm back in the flats. My buddy's out kind of in the main channel fishing. And he gets on the radio and he says, hey, Wayne, you know, the water's really coming out of there. You need to, you know, get out of there pretty soon. Well, of course, it's always that one more cast and I'll be there. So, of course, you know, I take a few more casts, look down, and I'm sitting 6 inches of water. I'm like, damn, this is coming out of here pretty quick. So I took like 2 paddle strokes and like sunk, stuck in the mud. I'm like, really? You got to be kidding me. It's about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It's hotter than Jesus. And I'm like, I can't believe I'm stuck. So I tried to oomph it out a little bit and try to paddle. It was like, ain't happening. So first thing I needed to do was let's see, you know, how deep the mud is, because I just had no idea. So I took 1 foot and stepped off the kayak and sunk to my knee in black, thick, nasty, smelly mud. And, you know, I yanked my foot back up. Now I've got a foot full of mud in my kayak. I had no way to wash it off. I'm like, okay, that sucks. And, of course, by now there's no water around me. I mean, literally, like I said, it drained so quickly. So then I could see the open water. I could see where I needed to go, but I just wasn't there. So I had this really brilliant idea, I thought, that I would take my my anchor, and I forget how I probably had 75 feet of rope on it, and I would throw it into the open water and pull myself out, you know, out of my mud. You know, that sounded like a good idea at the time. I was probably suffering heat stroke at that point. But I took the thing and I threw it. It was like a perfect spiral. The rope unfurled perfectly. It landed right in the middle. And then I proceeded to pull in 75 feet of muddy rope and a muddy anchor with no way to wash it off.
Oh,
so now I got mud on the, you know, my legs. I got mud all over this rope. And I'm like, so then I'm mad. And I'm like, I am not sitting here until the tide comes back in. So I started, like, oomphing myself, if you know what I'm talking about, with, you know, jumping the kayak and using my paddles to kind of paddle through the mud, kind of. I mean, it wasn't, I mean, it took me, like, 45 minutes. I was exhausted when I got done. I was mad still. And I finally got into the open water where I could float a little bit after about 45 minutes of sweating and grunting. And my buddy in the corner, and he starts yelling, "Mud turtle, mud turtle." I'm like, "What are you talking about?" And I look behind me, and I swear on the mud slide, it looked like a giant turtle had beached itself, because the bottom of the kayak was like the shell shape, and the paddles were the flipper shape. It looked like this massive, you know, prehistoric turtle had beached itself on the mud flat. So that's where that name stuck for about a week. Then I decided I didn't like that name, so we retired that. But and it's one of those things that happens when you kayak a lot, and you know, things are going to happen to you. So that's,
you know,
that's the history of mud turtle.
If there's a picture out there of the mud turtle, I'm going to drag. That just might just happen to come up at the tournament on Saturday. I don't know if who might do that, but
let's not. Actually, I submitted that story to some online forum, and they did a caricature of the mud turtle incident. And it was really a great caricature. I couldn't ever get it to blow up. It was a really great. I can't believe I didn't turn around and take a picture of it, because the picture, you know, worth 1,000 words. And this was just classic, and I do not ever want to repeat it again. I never want to do it again. So it would have to be a picture in my mind, and that's it. That's enough.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
you never know.
Do you remember when, Mark, we were in Jacksonville in the Tidal Creeks there?
Yeah.
And we got – I think Mark and Charlie went way farther than we did. And we turned around. And, you know, when we started in the morning, it was like – you know, you'd back the kayak up into the grass there, you know, and, you know, sit there and fish for a while. Well, you know, after a couple of hours, it was like the top of the grass, you know, when you're sitting in your kayak backed up to the grass, it was like it was even with your head. Your head was probably just sticking over the grass, you know. A couple of hours later, man, it was like, I'm not kidding you, it had to be a 7-foot drop in tide. You're looking up at, like, the top of the grass is, like, 10 feet over your head, you know? So,
very strange.
Some of the tide going out of this, I mean, it was, you had to paddle as hard and fast as you could just to go, like, 2 inches at a time. It was crazy.
Yeah, lift my butt off the kayak thinking that, oof, I lift my butt off, there'll be less weight, it'll ride higher.
Yep.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it rips through there, especially through a narrow pass or something. It's just like a roaring river.
And
usually going the wrong way.
Yeah, exactly.
The last mile and a half or so, there wasn't enough water to float the kayaks with us in it, so we had to slog it back. We call it the Great Jacksonville Slog. And then the last like 100 yards, it was completely dry. We had to like buddy up and pull our kayaks like the last 100 yards. I was telling Chip, I was like, man, what is this? Some sort of like sick Marine Corps trick or something, you know? It's like, it was a blast though, man. We had a good time.
Yep, it was a good tournament down there, and hopefully we'll have a good weather for ours, and you know, go from there.
Definitely. And, you know, fingers crossed on that. Hopefully it'll warm up before the tourney.
We're set to cold front this weekend, and, you know, the thing I really look for is we have any, you know, really bad weather like hurricanes on the way, and right now I'm not seeing anything, so that's I'm just keeping my fingers crossed nothing forms and scoots across that quickly. We've never had to cancel one in the, you know, 7 years we've done this, and you know, I went down to Jeff Suber's tournament down in Florida for the Forgotten Coast Anglers, and You know, we drove 13 hours one way to get down there, and I think I put my kayak in the water in the 3 days I was there for, like, I don't know, 45 minutes. You know, we had waves breaking across the causeway on tournament morning, and we ended up just having a big old raffle, you know, and a big old barbecue that afternoon. The really funny thing about that tournament was, out of all the people, I think he had 100 people at least at his tournament, and out of all those people, one guy did not get the message that it had been canceled. One guy. So we're all standing around in the tournament, you know, headquarters after the, you know, and eating and everything. This one guy shows up all wet and disheveled. He's been out fishing all day.
Oh, no.
Like, are you out of your mind? And I don't think he caught anything, but what they decided to do was have a, you know, raffle off everything. That guy won one of the kayaks. I'm like, well, that's deserving. I mean, the guy deserves one to be out for having been out there all day long. So that was pretty wild.
Wow. That's just, ooh. That's
yeah.
The pain. The pain.
Well, he must have found a sheltered area, obviously, because where we were going to fish, you know, there were 6-foot breakers, and that was usually a flat. So it was ugly, ugly. But he must have found some sheltered area to try and fish at least, you know, because, you know, one thing I, you know, caution people is in any kind of term, even any fishing situation, you know, no fish is worth your life. You know, if it's not safe to go out, don't do it. You know, some people think, you know, I'm invincible, or I've seen these other people do it, and we've got an area here in Virginia Beach or in the Virginia area on the Eastern Shore called the Shoals. And, you know, typically people go out there and catch, you know, 40-pound redfish up there. Well, that's all great and well, but the Shoals is a very dangerous place, and it's not named the Shoals because they like the word. It's because there are shoals there, and they have 6-foot breakers there, like, all the time. And they can drag you into those things. And I know a very experienced kayaker, I'm not going to mention, that went end over end in the Shoals and lost, you know, everything, all of his gear and everything, because you're not really ready for that. And I caution people. I've never been there, and I've been doing this for a long time. It's just not something I want to do. I mean, everybody has their threshold limit and their as I call it, their pucker factor limit, and that one's way above mine. So I prefer a nice calm flat to you know, risking my life to catch a fish that I can't keep anyway. But please sit down.
Cool. So, how can people join TKAA?
You can join by just going to our website, tkaa.org. You can sign up on the website. You don't have to join as a paid member. We certainly would welcome you as a paid member. And if you want to participate in the tournament, certainly do not have to be a TKAA member to participate in the tournament. But there are links on our website either to register or to pay as a member. And, of course, the tournament page has all the links necessary to sign up online, or if you want to wait until the tournament to actually sign up, we'd appreciate if people do want to participate that they sign up now so we get a good idea on, you know, T-shirts, because we do have a really you're familiar with Fish DV8, Alan Therrington, who is a great artist and good friend of TKAA and always does our artwork for the tournament. And we typically take that artwork, and put it on our T-shirts, which are, you know, full color. This year it features a striper going after a jighead. I believe last year was redfish, and the year before that was trout. So we've got one more fish for flounder next year, I guess, and then after that maybe have a combination. So if anybody has fished, you know, for 5 years straight in a tournament, they'll have a nice collection of really nice, high-quality artwork on their T-shirts. And then he also donates a original print of the artwork, and we usually have a 52-card raffle for that item, and it's absolutely gorgeous. And I've always wanted one, but I've never won it, so we'll try again this year.
Oh, yeah. If you go to fishdv8.com, you can see some of Alan's work. It's truly amazing with the detail and everything.
Great colors and very action-like shots. So, and you'll see his work on if you go to the tournament page, that's on the banner of our tournament page. Actually, on the banner of our TKAA.org as a tournament link. So, really nice stuff. You know, he's done a great job with us, you know, for a number of years, and we really appreciate the effort he's given to help out. because, you know, again, you know, I talk about tournaments, I talk about prizes and all that, but it's really all about helping out, you know, the heroes on the water folks. And that's, you know, I never want to lose sight of the fact that that's what we're doing this for. You know, you might win a great prize, you might win kayaks and things like that, but, you know, the money that we raise after, you know, after obviously the expenses incurred, you know, goes directly to them. So we've got a number of different, you know, manufacturers that, for instance, Polar Bottle, which makes water bottles, you know, donates 25 custom water bottles with the HAL logo embedded in them.
Cool.
We'll have a few of those for sale, but we're giving 25 away just to the veterans for their, you know, for their personal use, because, you know, that's stuff they can use. A lot of us guys that fish a lot have all that stuff. We, you know, I don't really need to win another raffle in my life and I'll be fine. But, you know, these guys, you know, may not get out that often or may just be starting out. It's really kind of neat. I think, Mark, you might remember from Luther's tournament in the summer, which was, again, supporting Heroes on the Water, that one of the veterans that came out and fished that day literally went out either that day or the next day and bought himself a kayak.
Yep.
And just got really involved in it, loves it. And I think he might be coming down with to fish this tournament, which would be great. You know, that's what it's all about, is giving them a sense of independence and freedom and relaxation, and just letting them, you know, fit back into society just as, you know, a normal person, given, you know, some of the, you know, really tough stuff they've gone through. And it's not necessarily physical, although in some cases it is. But I remember talking to a gentleman who was telling me about one of the vets in his organization that had been either Afghanistan or Iraq, I don't remember which one, but had gone through 5 IED explosions. Now, he had survived and not been injured physically in any of them, but he had lost some of his best friends, you know, each time, and that's got to take a mental, you know, mental toll on a person. And so you're talking about PTSD and you know, how to get over that, and certainly.
And we've lost him. I'm going to see if we can't get Wayne back here in a second. Hopefully I can do some magic. But yes, folks, take it from me. It's a great thing. From someone who's been there, done that, Heroes on the Water and being able to go out, it's more of an independence thing. You go out there, you can reach, you can achieve. And that's the biggest thing when you're injured like that, mentally or physically, is the ability to achieve something. You know, be able to, okay, I got the kayak, I got in the kayak, okay, that's a milestone. I'm paddling the kayak, that's another milestone. I'm able to fish off the kayak. Now that's a milestone. I just caught another fish. That's a milestone. You know, and those little milestones, folks, I mean, we take for granted every day, but to someone who's trying to recover, it is, you know, imperative to them, and really, you know, means a lot to a lot of people. And I'm ringing.
We're sorry.
Hello.
Hey, Wayne. Sorry we lost you.
We're back. Ah, no problem.
The wonderful world of cell phones. If cell phone calls would stress getting their phone calls, you know, connected and staying connected versus texting and emailing and videos and all that, the world would be a much better place. That's just my personal pet peeve on cell phones. But anyway.
Oh, trust me, you're not the only one.
When we lost. Yeah, exactly. But I don't know where I was on my rant about Heroes in the Water, but, you know, great organization. Check out their website, heroesinthewater.com, I do believe, and
yep.
You'll see just a lot. And there's chapters all over the place. They have, I believe they have 31 active chapters currently, and they predict in about 2 years there'll be over 125. I mean, and unfortunately or fortunately, depending on how you look at it, there's such a need for it. We've had so many wounded folks from, you know, the two wars we've been in, and it doesn't necessarily need to be those two wars. It can be, you know, all the way back to Vietnam, for that sake. You know, any veteran that's, you know, needs that kind of service or wants to come out and do it, you know, more than welcome to. And it's the least
definitely.
We can do for those folks.
Definitely, so, definitely. All right.
I just checked my phone email, and I've, you know, had a couple more people. So we're going to be well over 200 people at this year's tournament. And, you know, just encourage you if you're in the area or high fishing of any skill level. You know, we've got a lot of new people in the sport who are a little bit trepidatious about, you know, ooh, tournament fishing, or I'm going up against professionals. And as the stories I related earlier tell you, and even for me, I wasn't a professional when I did my first tournament. It's a question of luck. And, again, it's not really about the tournament and winning, but it's also about helping, you know, a really great cause. So we really hope that people will take advantage of it. Again, if you're not a saltwater fisher person, then we've got Largemouth Bass, which is sponsored by kayakbassfishing.com and Wilderness Systems. And, you know, they're doing, and Hook One, they're doing a great job on, you know, helping support the tournament. So come on out and enjoy a day of fun with a bunch of kayak anglers.
Oh, yeah. You know, food's not bad, and, you know, the company's well worth it. Even if you just sit there and talk to your neighbors and the other tables, you know, and make fun of the big guy standing there trying to figure out what next he's gonna raffle off. So,
is that what you want to do? Is make fun of me while I'm up there? Okay, I'm not calling your number this time, Mark. Sorry, man, you're winning nothing.
I'm playing.
I know. No, it's all fun. It's all good. And I'm so sorry we have so many items to raffle. I mean, we were there one year until, like, I don't know, almost 10 o'clock.
Yeah, that was two years ago.
The sponsors are very generous. And, I work really hard to get them. And I don't guilt them into it. But, you know, it's really amazing that some companies, you know, large companies, you know, don't participate. And we lost a few, you know, what I would call major companies. I can name names, but you won't see them this year at our tournament, which is really unfortunate. And then I've had small companies, like a Yak Attack, for instance, who Luther is here in Virginia, in Farmville, Virginia, making some great products, and they're donating thousands of dollars worth of stuff to the cause. So it really is heartening to see, you know, small and large companies. Some companies want to get their products known, and some people make some great products. You know, I went to ICAST this year, and I solicited several companies and said, hey, you know, we're not greedy. We'll take whatever you want to give us. And some companies are very, very, you know, generous in what they did provide, you know, providing there's a company called Longliners that provides downriggers that kayakers can use when you're out there at the Bay Ridge, you know, going deep for the stripers.
Right.
And I think they donated 150 of those things at $10 a pop. Well, that's a lot for a small company, and, you know, we should really appreciate the fact that they are doing that, but we know why. They're doing it because we support a great cause, and without those men and women out there doing what they do, we wouldn't be able to go out and go kayak fishing whenever we want to. So I think that's kind of the bottom line. I know I'm a little bit prejudiced about it, coming from a military background and living in a military area, but, you know, regardless of how you feel politically, and I'm not even into politics, obviously, but, you know, definitely should support the troops that help keep us free.
Well, to give you an idea, we've got Redfish Chuck, who's the host of the Monday Night Show. I think he's chair force or former chair force. You've got myself, a non-active Marine. You've got
I was gonna ask about that, but I wasn't going to go there.
Tree Hugger, who's another non-active Marine. And, you know, this host is and we got Scuba Stan, who's a non-active Marine, who's on the chat room, and a host who lives on a military base. So
there you go.
Yeah.
You
know, it's military.
I was an Army brat. My dad was in the Army, you know, career Army, and so I sort of have a very strong support for what they do. And the sacrifices that they make, not just, you know, going off to a foreign country, but, you know, just on an everyday basis. They're moving every couple of years. Their families are being uprooted. And it's a tough life. And they don't get enough credit sometimes. Certainly aren't paid enough for what they do. But, you know, anything we can do, especially the fact that they've, you know, been wounded in one way or another, and the fact that we can give back just a little bit, you know, makes it all worthwhile.
Definitely.
So.
I apologize, Redfish Chuck. I was thinking of Bill Hayward, Haywood Howard. Man, that's always a tongue twister.
Down in Tampa?
Yep. He's the chair force guy. Sorry, Chuck. Anyway.
Is that Bill down in Tampa?
Yeah.
That's also Malibu. Lots of in Malibu. He's from the Malibu Pro Staff also.
And Rob DeVore on the line. He's a Malibu guy.
That's right.
Down in Tampa.
good boats. Not to plug them necessarily, but I did run into an issue about 2 years ago. I was in Jamaica Bay. Anybody who's ever fished Jamaica Bay has always been warned that the winds can be ugly. And I was there, went up by myself, and typically, you know, don't do that. But because there were so many people, you know, fishing right next to me and in the area, I was very comfortable doing that. And I followed a group of about seven Hobie guys in my Malibu back to the back of Jamaica Bay. It was literally a flat, calm lake when I left at about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And about 4 o'clock, when we were in the very far back, they said, hey, the winds are starting to kick up, time to get going. And I immediately said, that's a good idea. Well, the winds kicked up tremendously, probably 20 to 25, 3 to 4 foot swells, or not swells, waves, and the tide was coming in, so I'm working against the tide. I had to go 2 miles. I could see, if you've ever fished Jamaica Bay, you're actually fishing out of an old Air Force base. And I could see the seven-story hangar that was probably about 2 miles away. I just didn't get to it. I had about a 30-inch bluefish on a stringer, and I was trolling when I first started going back in. Well, I quickly decided that I didn't need to be trolling because the wind was whipping it so badly it was getting caught in my other lines. So I stopped to untangle all that mess and probably lost, I don't know, 30 minutes of paddling just doing that in the 2 or 3 minutes it took me to get all that stuff down. Kept paddling and kept hitting the stupid bluefish. Sitting in my lap for a while. Then I decided it wasn't a real smart idea to have a 30-inch bluefish in my lap. It's a lot. So off the trigger, he went back into the water. And I could see landmarks on the land, like I remember these two towers, like smokestacks or something. So I kept having little goals, like, okay, in 30 minutes I'll be halfway between those two. So I paddle, and literally 30 minutes later I look up, I haven't even gone a quarter of the way. And it was literally, if you stop paddling, you got blown back. And so for 4 hours, 4 freaking hours, it was paddle, taking waves over the bow, you know, becoming very disheartened by the, you know, the progress I was making, and, you know, trying to think of things to keep me going mentally. I had a dry suit on. I wasn't worried about that. I considered beaching on an island and spending the night or something, but there's supposed to be thunderstorms and all that, so I didn't really want to chance that. So the last part of the journey, if you will, I saw this a channel marker in the distance. So again, making those small little goals, I said, okay, in 45 minutes I'll be at the channel marker. Well, of course, 45 minutes later, I'm not even halfway there, so I'm still kind of bummed, but I'm still paddling. I'm in consistent paddle strokes. I'm thinking 10 to 15,000 paddle strokes. I have no idea. It was just an amazing amount. I'm so surprised to say that I was able to do it physically. Well, I finally got up to the buoy marker, and I discovered this 15-foot metal thing is bouncing around in this 4-foot chop. And I'm like, I'm not getting anywhere near that. My plan had been to go up to it, grab onto it and rest, and then continue on. I'm like, damn it, I can't even do that. There's no way. So I finally got to shore and rested for about a half an hour and then did the rest of the trip. But I was never so happy to be in a boat like a Malibu because it took the waves. It wasn't the fastest, but I was never afraid I was going to tip over or anything. And it saved my life. It really did. So,
we were talking to D. Kelly and who is Hammerhead? Grave Crispor is up there at Jamaica Bay this year for us, and we were talking to them up there on the phone and during I think Chip's show, and everybody has a Hobie up there. I don't think we talked to anybody that didn't have a Hobie. Hobie something.
It is Hobie Nation there for sure. It's amazing how many Hobies are up there. I don't know what it is, but they love them up there. And all I can say is that when I was with those guys, the seven of them took off, and about half an hour later, I couldn't even see them anymore. They were gone, and here I am paddling my little self. I think me and one other guy didn't get out of there quickly enough, and he made it back. But it was getting dark, and it was getting uglier, and it was quite the experience for somebody who, I consider myself a pretty experienced paddler, but it just goes to show you that even with experience, you never know. I don't think my radio was working properly, so I couldn't call anybody, and they knew I was out because they saw my truck. But, I learned a few lessons there to really pay attention and, get out when you can and not stray too far. So.
Oh, yeah.
Which you said you had a stealth. Which stealth do you have?
I have a stealth 14.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I have a 12.
Yeah, I have a 12 also, but I just prefer the 14. I call it the big boy, though, and I'm a pretty big boy, so I'm very comfortable in the 14. I was out today in it, actually, at Rudy Inlet, which is down here in Virginia Beach, and it gets pretty gnarly with the wave action. I mean, you know, 50 yards from people are surfing, and it handled them well. I was not comfortable fishing there, so I went in after a little while, but I've not been in a situation where I felt uncomfortable in that boat in terms of it, you know, getting ready to flip or something like that. It really takes waves from all sides, and that's an area where bigger, you know, fishing boats, like the 65-person, you know, charter, you know, tourist fishing boats come in, and they'll make a straight run down the coast and then take a hard right, so you get two sets of different waves going from two different directions that are pretty big, and you get caught in that mix, and it can get ugly in a heartbeat.
Oh, yeah. Yep. So. All righty. Thank you, Wayne. Sorry.
Well,
I'm trying to,
okay.
to read the chat rooms.
What?
Thank you again for coming on.
I appreciate the opportunity to let everybody know about the tournament. We're looking forward to, like I said, the record turnout, hopefully. And if you have a chance to get in the area, please register this evening to take advantage of our early registration. And if not, you're welcome to register up until the time we have our captain's meeting next Friday night.
There you go. Feel free
okay.
to stay on and listen and chime in. We just got to finish out the show there, Wayne.
I'll stay up for a little while.
Do you have anyone you want to plug? Any companies, any products?
Well, I think I plugged a number of them. Like I said, Hobie Kayaks has been very generous. They've been our main sponsor for years in terms of being the number one sponsor and, again, have donated a Mirage Pro Angler. Appomattox River Company in Appomattox has donated a kayak, as has Tar River Paddle Sports and New Canoe. They're out of North Carolina, and here we are in Virginia, and they sponsored our tournament for several years and have always donated a kayak for the first place in, I believe they're in the Redfish division this year. The Flounder division is another outfitter called Wild River Outfitters in Virginia Beach. They're donating a $500 store certificate, and also we've paired them with Release Reels, who are a Virginia-based company making some very, very nice spinning reels. So that's great. Cocotat has donated a T3 Supernova Angler's paddling suit. It's about a $600 paddling suit. So they're sponsoring the Striper division. Malibu and Old Dominion are donating a kayak for the female angler division. And Dick's Sporting Goods has been very generous with us in the past couple of years, and they're donating a kayak for the youth division, Field & Stream Eagle Talon kayak. So those are our big sponsors. Yak Attack, again, is really stepped up. And then we have just a number of just different companies that I don't want to read them all and bore your listeners to death of them, but Cable, which is a small eye retrainer company, Boomerang Tools, Polar Bear Coolers, Polar Rail Rider, Temple Fork Outfitters, and Tika Rods, that donated, you know, fly and spinning rods and bait casting rods to us. Hoagie Lures is donating 125 DVDs. Kayak Angler Magazine, you know, free digital subscriptions. Pure Fishing, Scoosh. Just I can go on and on. Snapshot Rulers, Aquapack, Dry Case, Yak Gear. They're donating $210 certificates, not $10 off. I mean, not $10% off, but $10 coupons. And about $800 worth of gear to be given away. So
cool.
The list goes on and on. If you, again, go to our website, and you can just take a look at all the great things. You know, Columbia Sportswear has a new Save the Seagrass T-shirt, where they're giving out 25 to the veterans, and then a few for raffle items. So it's just, like I said, a great MTI. Giving out, you know, PFDs, a lot of local folks doing some things for us in terms of dinner certificates and things like that, Orion safety gear, Polar Bear Coolers, who are making custom coolers for the Howe folks, Surf to Summit, they're giving out a GPS Expedition kayak seat, great seat, I've used them many times, and icy terrain, which makes the retractor systems, Wang takeout poles. Just a lot of different, companies coming together to support a great cause.
Definitely.
So
I got to ask
you. Just a few of them.
You going fishing this weekend, man?
Probably not. I went fishing today. It didn't do too well. Caught a couple of croakers and some spot, but just had to get out. You know, just so you have no idea if you've never run a tournament before what's involved and the details you've got to pay attention to. And if I get a chance, I might. I live in an area that actually has some nice freshwater. I don't freshwater fish that often, but I might just put it in the water just to relax a little bit. But I think it's up to below hard this weekend here, so. Which is just as well, because like I said, I've got to get ready for the tournament, and then right after the tournament, unfortunately or fortunately, I've got a business trip to Florida, and I think I'm going to make a little side trip to the Florida Keys. So I'm going to be soliciting friends who live in the Keys to show me the ropes down there. I've been there once, and I know it's a fine fishing area.
Awesome.
Definitely.
You'll love it down there, man. It's. You it'll ruin fishing for you anywhere else.
I lived east of the Marco Island years ago, and so I'm very familiar with the whole Florida area. I get so jealous. I get on Facebook now and see the folks who live in Sebastian Inlet or Mosquito Lagoon or Mount Lachey and Port Charlotte and all those areas, Boca. They're just slaying redfish or slaying trout and. That is the prime fishing area down there. I mean, I could live down there. About 2 years ago, I actually took a trip where I went down the east coast of Florida, stopped in the Hilton Head, then Mosquito Lagoon, Sebastian Inlet, then I went across to Mount Lachey and Boca Grande, and just fished with my kayak by myself for 10 days, and that was a blast. Had a really good time doing that.
Wow. Yeah, we've got Redfish Chuck, who's out of Mosquito Lagoon and Sebastian Inlet. Usually Thursday nights we have Dee Kaminsky calling in, Miss Trout Queen, or one of the best fishermen, woman, fishing person I know.
I'm friends with her on Facebook. I know Dee. We post up a lot with each other, so she's really good. And you got Linda Cabot out of Panama City, who's another tremendous fisher person. I don't know if you saw her. She did a video back in the spring where she lives in Panama City Beach, I believe, or near there, and there's a pier there. And there was apparently a basking shark, which is like, I don't know, 25 feet long or something, that was right off the pier. And this guy in a kayak went out there and jumped off his kayak and swam towards it. You better have your shark identification properly documented before you can do that, because that was a big, big boy. But she goes out and just slays some fish. She's really good at it.
Yep. Miss Cavett is usually a frequent caller on the KFR.
Okay.
Yeah, we've got Dee, Linda, we've got Rob DeVore, Mr. Badcast. Who else we have on here? Dennis Spike. I mean, the names go on and on and on. People that I've never heard of.
Yeah.
And people are going, you never heard a person? I'm going, no. Blah, blah, blah. So.
Well, it's amazing in this area, Virginia Beach area, we've got a number of pretty well-known people with Chad Hoover and Kayak Kevin, of course. A lot of people heard of him. And Corey Ruth, who kind of started kayak fishing in this area, or one of the folks that did. And, pretty well known either with books or videos or websites or whatever. So it's pretty strong area here for kayak fishing. And, again, it's been around for years and years. And it was amazing. I went up to the northern Chesapeake area about 2 years ago because I have a kayak fishing rep firm. I rep for a number of different companies. And I thought they'd make some sales calls. I was asking people at some sporting good shops and everything, what's going on with kayak fishing up here? And they're like, nobody does it up here. I'm like, really? You're in the Chesapeake Bay? And nobody kayak fishes. Are you kidding me? And what I found is you really have to have a local presence via forum or some other means of getting together before it really takes off. And they have since started a club up in the Maryland area, and they just had their first inaugural tournament this weekend. And that's where things start. I think they had 40 people, which is good for a start. And next year they'll probably have 60 or 80, and then it just takes off from there as more and more people see it. they want to do it. You know, I used to own a boat. I sold that puppy, thank God, about 2 years ago, because you know, a boat is an all-day affair. It's, you know, either you trailer it, or if you have it, you know, in a hotel or whatever, you got to call, have them put it out, and you put gas in it, and you go out, and you come back, and you got to, you know, take it out, clean it up, and, you know, even if you go for 2 hours of fishing, you're still, you know, half to an all-day affair. Well, with the kayak, you know, if I feel like going out in the morning at 6 o'clock in the morning, putting in 2 hours and come back, and, you know, 9 o'clock, I'm ready to go to work. So
definitely.
It's just much more convenient, much cheaper, see lots of cool things, and, you know, just a preferred method. We can catch almost any fish that you can catch, you know, on a boat and a kayak, except for the blue water species, and that's changing with what people do in the mother shipping out there. In fact, our club participates, TKA participates in what's called a club challenge, which is it's been around for like 30 years, and it's basically powerboat clubs in this area, and there's several, there's like seven, you know, compete against each other. And this year, out of the seven or eight clubs that were participating, we placed fourth and missed third by 1 point. So they know we're a force to be reckoned with.
Definitely. And actually, down in Florida right now, that actually are catching tuna and red snapper and stuff like that from the beach, launching from the beach and paddling like 200 yards. Red for Chuck can explain more about that, because he knows more about that than I do. But, you know, kayak wars, I mean, seeing these guys yanking in sailfish, it's like, really, dude?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
South of Port Canaveral, I know that much. He says he rattles off the where they're launching from, and I just go, okay, yeah. I know exactly not where you're talking about. So
I think Linda's got a picture, too, of a sailfish that she's caught off of Panama City, so apparently they come in close there, too. And, you know, if it's within a paddle distance, you know, it's available. You know, our quest up here is that's eluded everyone so far that's tried is tarpon on a kayak at the Eastern Shore. So very, very well-kept secret. The joke is that if you want to go with somebody that knows, they have to blindfold you, take you there. But so few people know the general area, and they've been seen off of kayaks. But unfortunately, the area that they're in is also a shark breeding ground, and I really don't want to mess with sharks when they're in their breeding mode.
Yeah, that could either end, depending on who you are, really good or really, really bad. So,
yeah.
Well, cool, Wayne. Cool. Thank you very, very much for coming on. And
anytime,
folks,
just give me a call. I appreciate it.
Yep. Check out tkaa.org. And that was Bay Days with this Cat Norris thingamajigger. Check out, again, tkaa.org. All right. Now, all right. Mr. DeVore, Robbie, you going fishing this weekend? I guess you already told me what your plan was. So I saw you were looking at some flies in the chat room. Tell me a little about them, man.
What's that? You talking to me?
I don't know of any other Robs on.
I'm sorry, I was muted. I didn't quite catch that. I don't know. I'm not. Chuck likes to tie a Schminnow. I've never tied one before, so I need to get the recipe and have him show me how to do that. I like to tie. My favorite thing to tie is tarpon flies, though. And you can all kinds of big EP, big fish, and toad flies, and location X floaty flies, and all sorts of stuff, man.
Right.
Do you tie? You ever tied?
I tie bucktails, and that's as far as I've gone. And you know, feather teasers, which I guess are kind of like your shark fly or your I'm gonna say like a feather clouser or you know, or damsel kind of. It's a bunch of you know, rooster feathers.
Right.
Hooked on like
I'll tell anybody, the two flies that you can tie that are easy to tie that will catch you fish anywhere you want to fish is either a deceiver or a clouser minnow.
Yeah.
Those two are the most versatile, probably fish catching flies that you'll ever see. So definitely, and they're easy to tie. I have a good, an easy way to a simplified clouser that I make with bead chain eyes. So it's not diving down into the grass and stuff, you know, in the shallow, you know, 3 foot flats around here that I like to make. Chartreuse back with a white belly. It's, you can catch fish anywhere on that thing.
Definitely. All right, we've got a new caller. Area code 304. You're on the air.
Hello.
Kayla. What's going on, girly?
What?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Good.
Good. You've got a delay there. So welcome. I saw you on here earlier. You should have stayed on. Just getting to bring on it on the air.
Yeah, sorry. My job thinks that they need to call me every shift and had to fix some problems.
I understand. So we'll get you caught up. We had Mr. Wayne Bradby from the TKAA tournament on. And folks, remember, you could always call in at 714-816-4727 during any of the live shows. Doesn't matter when or doesn't matter where. So, Kayla, you get out fishing this weekend?
Yes, I will be.
Okay.
I am not quite sure what I'm going fishing for yet. I don't know if I'm going to be in salty water or non-salty water.
Ooh.
But, yeah.
So you're thinking about making a trip, huh?
Yeah, I need an adventure.
Adventure's the spice of life. So cool.
Absolutely.
Let us know what happens. All right. Mr. Crisp, you going fishing this weekend, man?
Oh, yeah. Hoping to get out this weekend. I actually had Friday off with plans to go fishing, but it looks like we're going to have 25 to 30 knot winds on Friday. So I think I'm going to be grounded for that one. But hopefully they'll die down. It looks like they may die down on Saturday. So see if I can't get out.
Yeah, I'm looking at my forecast now, man. I got north winds, northeast winds. Friday night, northeast wind, 11 to 15. Yeah, I'm not hitting the salty water. I'll fish the fresh water, but I'm going to hit that salty stuff. That'll really make my nether regions pucker. But,
yeah.
Area code 321, you are on the air.
What's up?
That's Chuck.
Chuck, what's going on, man?
It's going down.
What did you do today?
I caught this weird-looking silverfish on a fly that I tied the night before. And watch Adam want to blow his brains out as his brother-in-law caught a tarpon on a soft plastic. And I caught a little tiny redfish, and I was frustrated. And, yeah, tired. It was a long I had a very interesting adventure, if I could tell you this quick tale.
Tell the tale.
I will tell the tale. So we go fishing out in the river, and we know the story.
Banjo.
I caught one redfish,
banjo
and that's
music.
It. No,
what's
don't
that?
Do banjo music. No banjo music. So anyway, so then we decide, all right, listen, let's get off the river. Too hot, water's way too dirty. We had a full moon last night. Chances are the redfish aren't going to feed that well, so let's just take our chances with the tarpon. So we pack up the kayaks and we run over to a different area, about probably about a 30-minute drive from where we were. And, wow.
I have no idea who did that.
Yeah.
Kayla.
So anyway, great. So anyway, so we went over to this one spot, and there was this gentleman that was fishing alongside the road. Now, we here in Florida, or at least this part of we in Florida, don't mind ditch fishing, all right? It's just kind of one of those things that we do down here. This gentleman was ditch fishing and looking for tarpon. Well, the guy does DNA testing on the tarpon. He does DNA swabs of the fish, sends them in so that they can do some research and kind of figure out, you know, gene pool, this, that, and the other, whatever. So the guy's kind of like a local legend. I mean, he's, I think last year he caught 170 plus tarpon on fly.
My God.
So, yeah, the guy's pretty much the man. But anyway, so he comes over and he's telling us that, you know, fishing's not that good. It's pretty slow. There's little small, little itty bitty juvenile tarpons anywhere from 6 to about 9 inches long that are in the creek at the moment. But he said he had saw a few 5 to 10 pounders at a different spot. He told us where to go. So we go over there. And the only way I knew to get there was kind of like the long way around. Well, he apparently knew a shortcut. He beat us there, which was pretty funny. And I pull up and I see tarpon rolling all over the place. And I'm thinking, phew, come on now. Adam has to catch a saltwater fish. And a tarpon is no, there's no better fish in the state of Florida that's inshore for you to break your jinx with than tarpon, right? So, yeah, that didn't happen. Well, the gentleman that was fishing told us, he's like, well, guys, you know, I'm going to leave it to you. Good luck, whatever. I got to get some AC on me. I'm really hot, man. I don't feel real well. And I kind of took that as a little odd, like, what do you mean you got to get some AC on you? You don't feel real well. So he's sitting in his car for about 5 or 10 minutes, and I keep looking over at him. Because again, I kind of know the guy a little bit. He's been in my shop a few times. And he just wasn't looking right. So I was over talking to Adam, and I turned around, and I was about to go walk over to his car, and the guy starts laying on his horn. And I walk over to his car. I'm like, what's going on, bud? And he's like, hey, and like a real soft voice, like, I don't know, straining to talk. He goes like, hey, can you maybe drive me to my house? Because I really don't feel good, and I know I shouldn't be driving. And he was shaky and just didn't look good. He was like all pale looking. And I'm like, dude, are you feeling all right? I was like, you don't look good. He's like, no, I'm really, really dizzy, this, that, and the other. I think I had too much heat today. So immediately I'm thinking he's starting to have a heat stroke. And that's one of those things that just happens down here. If you don't hydrate yourself and stay relatively cool, it's easy to overheat yourself. So I'm like, no, dude, I'm not driving you home. I'm calling 911. So I called 911 and had the fire rescue guys come out, check him out. And sure enough, his blood pressure was really low. His core temperature was super hot. And they didn't hesitate at all to transport the guy to our local hospital. And kind of a freaky deal, man, because, I mean, one minute we're sitting there joking around about losing tarpon because he jumped, like, 3 tarpon in a row and lost all 3 of them. The next minute, you know, he's having heat stroke symptoms. So that's a very good lesson to have been learned. I think Adam and his brother-in-law were a little shocked by how that kind of came on so fast. But for all you guys that are still fishing these last couple of weeks of summertime, stay really hydrated because, man, it's brutal out there.
Oh, but, yeah.
So we ended up, I know the guy well enough to where he felt comfortable with me taking his car. I drove his car clear across the town that we were in and parked it in his driveway. And I'm hoping he's all right, man. I haven't heard back. I got a buddy of mine that's checking on him, so. But craziness, man, craziness.
Never a dull moment with you, is there?
No, dude, it's absolutely, absolutely ridiculous.
Wow. So, all right. And anyone have anything else? Anyone?
No, no, no.
Hey, I have a comment.
Go ahead.
It's kind of off subject, but I just have to throw it out there, I guess. I found this little teeny tiny hat, like, well, never mind. Well, this circle hat with the different collars and the little wing thing on top.
Uh-huh.
And I was so pumped to call your show so I could do my little Running Man thing. I didn't hear any music.
Hang on, hang on, hang on.
Can't touch this.
I'm just kidding about that, though.
I apologize.
There you
I didn't,
go. Thank you.
I didn't put two and two together with the number. I do apologize. And folks, that is Kayla Kidd, I believe, from West Virginia. So it's not just Mid-Atlantic, it's Mid-Atlantic and places west for this show, folks. I didn't even talk about myself this time. Right before we head out, I did okay this past weekend. Caught a lot of bass on a little reservoir I like to hit. Using live target lures, Strike Kings, you name it, I couldn't do no wrong this past weekend. Pulled bass in up to 6 pounds. Rattle traps, folks. With this cold front that's going to move in, if you get a chance to get out and fish for bass, you're going to want to throw any shad color, any panfish, pickfish, I don't care what. As long as it's like a fish, you're going to be golden, because a lot of people or a lot of the bait fish and everything are going to shock from the how cold it's going to get, and it's going to turn these fish on, or the bass on. So throw a rattle trap, throw a crankbait. Swim baits are a must this next weekend. Caught a near sighted bowfin at the same lake. Kayak Kevin knows all about this because I had to stop into the shop halfway through my fishing day after missing a big fish. And right after that, Kev, I hooked into the near sighted bowfin, which was pretty cool. But anyway, folks, if you've never seen a bowfin, look them up. They are prehistoric looking. They are just wild. If you didn't know any better and you looked at it for the at a real quick Kev, I got to work. Kevin just posted up a sheep's head and maybe spades tomorrow. Tell me we were... God. And I got to work. Anyway. Redfish Chuck asks, what is a citation fish? A citation fish in the state of Virginia is a trophy fish. State of Virginia has decided, you know, how big a fish has to be to consider a trophy. Get this fish, you get, I think it's like a plaque or a little pin or something like that. So, anyway, it was definitely cool. So, with that, anyone have anything else? Anybody? Anybody? Bueller? Nope. So, we're going to go ahead and call it. I'm tired. I need to go to bed. And I think everyone else does too who has to work. So, folks, got to do my normal spiel. Go to yakangler.com, home of Yak Social and everything else in great form. One of the best kayak fishing websites out there, in my opinion. General, it's just nationwide. It's international. So definitely check that out. Kayakbassfishing.com, an awesome site also. If you not just for bass fishing out of a kayak, but for saltwater species also. Irish Water Dogs, Brave the Waves, Where Giants Tremble. Definitely check out Irish Water Dogs. Some great products there.
Keen Footwear, folks. Just got out of the pro. Been wearing their work commercial boots for a while now. Every day, walking on steel and everything else. Yeah, you can't beat their boots, their shoes, their sandals, toe protection. It's absolutely excuse me, absolutely a must. Definitely check them out. TKA.org. Check them out. Sign up for the TKA tournament if you're in the area. Fish the tournament next weekend. Not this weekend, but the weekend coming after, the 23rd and 24th is the tourney. So definitely get out there and have some fun. If not, you have a great little forum on there. A lot of great info. It's a very, very great little organization there. KayakKevin.com. Weekly updates and fishing reports from Kevin himself. Definitely a must for those that are going to go fish Kiptik in the area. Very soon, Kevin will definitely hook you up with some good info. BadBadCast.com, Rob DeVore's show or blog, along with Angling or YakFish.net, which is a Greg Chris website. Definitely check them out. Forgot anyone? Did I forget anything? Speak now, forever hold your pieces. No? No? Alright. I'm gonna find a outgoing. Hang on, where's that? Play. All right, folks, tell your friends, tell your families. Remember, Kayak Fishing Radio can always be listened to on kayakfishingradio.com, podcasts, and all the like. Listen to Redfish Chuck Show Monday nights at 8, same station. And hopefully, folks, you have fun. Get out fishing. Wear your PFDs. Take your kid fishing. Stay safe. Night, everybody.